Okay, hello everyone and welcome. My name is Lynn Anderson and I'll be moderating today's CIDR session. For those of you who are with us for the first time, the CIDR sessions are presented on the first Wednesday of the month at 11 a.m. Mountain Time in Canada. All of the CIDR sessions, including this one, are recorded and available from the CIDR site, and I will post that URL in the text box so that you can use it yourself or pass it on. There you go. The PowerPoint presentation will also be available at that site and an MP3 recording of this session. Now, before we begin, I would like to just take a moment and see where everybody's coming from today. As I didn't point out before, there is a little wand you can use here to the left of Alaska. And click on that and click on the place on the map where you're coming from today, and it should set a little mine there, and we can see how dispersed our audience is today. Oops, sorry, I used the wrong icon. Well, somebody thinks they're pretty important. Okay, and that person would be from Alberta. Good for you. Okay, now I'd like to introduce our presenter for today's session, Albert Johnson. Albert is a senior instructional designer with distance education and learning technologies at Memorial University, where he coordinates the efforts of media and support specialists to develop courses for distance delivery. He also consults on issues relating to the integration of technology into teaching and learning for a variety of educational organizations, both public and private, at the K-12 and post-secondary level. He's also a sessional instructor in the Faculty of Education at Memorial, where he teaches a course called Effective Teaching to pre-service teachers who are preparing to practice in junior high and high school. His research interests include the educational potential of information and communication technologies, the continuing professional development of in-service teachers, and obviously the teaching of pre-service teachers, and professionalism and ethics in teaching. Today, Albert will be sharing with us his experience and results from a large-scale study completed at Memorial, which identifies characteristics and sets of instructor behaviors that students, both face-to-face and at a distance, perceive to be essential for effective teaching. So on that note, I will hand over the microphone and let you get started, Albert.
Thank you, Lynn, very much. Greatly appreciate that. And thank you to all the folks who came in, took time today to come to the session. That's great. That's great. Greatly appreciated. Today I'm just going to spend a little bit of time chatting with you about a research project that we did here at Memorial about students' perceptions of effective teaching and higher in higher education. We're pretty pleased with the results and managed to collect some very rich data, I think, and we'll certainly get all of that as we go through the process. What I'd like you to do is, if you have questions, please feel free to put up your hand. Click on that little icon to put up your hand, and I'll certainly do my best to keep track, because when you put up your hand for the moderator, it rings a bell and flashes a little blue bar, so it's pretty much impossible for us to miss. So you'll certainly attract our attention, and I'll ask Lynn to keep an eye on that as well, and I certainly like to get you folks involved in the discussion as early and as much as possible throughout the time that we have here. Here, I just wanted to show you the rest of the research team. There's a picture of us there on the right hand side of this slide. I'm on the far left of that picture. Standing next to me is Trudy Johnson. To the right there is Jerome Delaney, and next to him is Dennis Dreslin, and that's the research team that took on the study, and our research was supported generously by Ann by Anne Marie Vaughn at Distance Education and Learning Technologies, and we're very happy to have had her support, and it's been unwavering all the way through this project. Anyways, let's take a quick look at the purpose of the study. The first part of it, one first thing that came to mind was it was a continuation of a study that Jerome Delaney had started with high school students in the K-12 system. Jerome had used a similar study, survey to ours, and to the one that we used in this study. We amended it a little bit for students at the university level, and you'll see that as we come through it. We wanted to determine students' expectations of effective teaching. What were their perceptions? How did they feel about it? And they gave us some very rich data for sure. There were wonderful narratives, and we'll go through some of those as we talk about the results. We wanted to compare students' expectation across modes of delivery, and this is we couldn't find another study that had done that. We wanted to find out if students' expectations of effective teaching for distance courses were similar, the same, or different from those that they had for face-to-face setting, and I think we got some fairly interesting results there. And we also wanted to, and we haven't had a really close look at this, but one of the reasons that we did it was to determine if the items on what for Memorial, the CEQs, are the course evaluation questionnaires the students complete at the end of the course, matched students' expectations. The survey that we used was offered to the students online. It was provided to them through our learning management system. We use Desire to Learn here in this province for the college to K-12 and for the university setting. It was a rather extensive survey. The first nine items on the survey were requests for demographic information. Students would just click on the appropriate response. The 40 remaining were open-ended. 30 of them were truly open-ended, where the students are asked to provide text-based answers. 10 of them, or the students, were asked to rank the particular characteristics that they were thinking about using numbers 1 to 5, and they ranked them relative to the characteristics that they had already presented. So what we asked students to do, we asked them to identify 5 characteristics of effective on-campus and distance teaching. That means there were that's 10 characteristics total. We asked them to do the on-campus teaching first, and then the distance teaching afterward. They were asked to explain why the characteristic is important, describe instructor behaviors that demonstrate the characteristic, and rank the 5 characteristics, 5 being the most important, one being the least. It's interesting that when we were setting up the survey, we had a pretty good debate about whether or not we would include this notion of describing the instructor's behaviors. But because we were working with two modes of the delivery, we were curious how students perceived how the instructors would demonstrate the various characteristics over the modes. The assumption we made is that instructors would demonstrate them in a slightly different way, or in a very different way, in a face-to-face setting than if they were teaching in a distance setting. And we got some fairly interesting feedback on that as well. Here's a screenshot of what, we've got a question. Lynn, you go right ahead.
I just wanted to point out Jason's question. He inquired how much experience, or he wanted to know how much experience the students had with distance teaching.
Thanks, Lynn. I appreciate that. Jason, actually we had students who had a very broad range. we had some students, there are some students who only answered the on-campus section and hadn't done any distance courses at all. And there were some students who had just had one or two distance courses under their belt. There's some students who had a multitude of distance courses under their belts. So the the range of the range of experience that the students had was quite broad. Anyways, you see here in the session that they had the text box to fill in the characteristic. That was usually just a word or a phrase. Their explanations, however, were usually a little more extensive, and certainly their description of the instructor behaviors were a little more extensive. They also, and then they would choose one of the radio buttons to indicate the ranking. The ranking didn't play much of a role in weighting the characteristics. What we found was that, except for a couple of minor exceptions, it didn't change the weighting of the characteristics at all. And it was very similar to the table that showed the characteristics I identified in terms of the number of times that they were identified students was almost identical to the table when we considered the weightings according to the rankings. So it all worked out. So it was basically the collective mind of the students that identified the characteristics that were important. What software did we use for the survey? The survey was put in the Desire to Learn survey tool, and one of the reasons we did that. Okay, it looks like Lynn's asking me. Oh no, Tammy. One. Okay. All right. It looks like the. We put it in Desire to Learn for a number of reasons. First off, it was relatively easy for us to make the survey available to all of the student body by putting it into Desire to Learn. We just had to put it into a shell and then basically make it accessible to all the students that were registered at Memorial for that particular semester, which is an awful lot easier than picking out specific segments of the group. So that worked out fairly well for us. We're also offering incentives, and we'll see a little bit of that as we go further on in the presentation. So we wanted to be able to, as much as we separated who the students were from the data, we wanted to be able to know who the students were so we could, when we did the draw for the incentives, we would be able to get a hold of them and provide them with the incentives. All right, so that's what the survey looked like. That was repeated 10 times for the process. Well, why did we use this? Why did we use this approach? Well, first off, we got together and we saw an awful lot of research that had used Likert scale surveys to ask students about their ideas of effective teaching, and we thought this was leading the students. They were responding to preconceived concepts. So we wanted to provide students with a direct voice, and we thought that the only way that we could do that is to provide an open-ended style survey. We wanted students to link instructor behaviors to the characteristics. So if this characteristic is important, how do instructors demonstrate this characteristic? What is it they do that makes you believe that they are approachable, or they are concerned, or they're empathetic, or they're democratic, and any number of the adjectives that the student used. Another thing that we did is that we wanted to collect data on both on campus and distance instruction. So we went about the survey in this way. And a lot of you may be thinking that we asked students to do an awful lot here, and you would be correct. The survey was fairly extensive. as you see here on the next slide, we made the survey available to approximately 17,000 students during the winter semester 2008. We had 2,500 students access the survey, and we scared away almost 2,200 of them. Only 330 of them provided usable data. One thing that we're really pleased about was that the demographics of the survey were very similar to the university population, almost identical, which was really nice to see. And finally, of the 330 students that provide usable data, 161 of them provided data on both distance and on campus teaching. So that was very helpful there, and certainly a nice sized group. We marketed the study on campus. There were banners placed in strategic areas around the campus, and as well as the campus out on the West Coast. Memorial has a campus in Corner Brook, which is about 700 kilometers down the road from St. John's. Also, we had banners at the Marine Institute, which is also in St. John's, and just up above us here, about a mile and a half away. As you can see, there's one of the examples of the pop-up banners is there on that slide. On the right-hand side, you'll notice we are offering incentives. If they completed the survey, for a chance to win one of two $1,000 tuition vouchers. So we thought everyone would be pleased with that. We put ads in the campus newspapers, both the Memorial Gazette, which is the official university newspaper, and the Muse, which is the student newspaper. And we also had a website set up for students could get information about the survey. Anyways, we're getting to the method of analysis here now. Clay noted about a survey. Interested there, said to crafted a survey for online instruction that you can modify as per your need. And thanks for providing that link, Clay. The method of analysis that we did. The data was collected in Desire to Learn, and I had a group here in our technical support team that work with Desire to Learn come up with a way to extract the data so that it could go into a spreadsheet. Now, given the type of input and the method of input that we had, and the variety of spelling that we would get for any number of the characteristics that students offered, we took the spreadsheet and actually printed it. So we ended up with 25 8.5-inch by 14-foot scrolls. If the spreadsheet had been put together, it would have been about 14 feet by 14 feet in 8-point font. So it was quite a bit of data, but we were convinced that we would need to go through it by hand. So we actually manually coded the data, and as we went through it, we identified 69 unique characteristics or adjectives that students used to describe the aspects of effective teaching, and to each one of those we assigned a unique number. The data was then correlated by that unique number, and separate spreadsheets were created. So, for example, if the students use an adjective like approachable, we would give that a unique number and collect the data and the number of times that the students used that and put that on a separate spreadsheet. Once we had that done, we harvested the descriptions and the behaviors associated with each of those characteristics, and took them away, and tried to come up with definitions that students had for the characteristic, and we highlighted the students' comments there. And then once we got that done, we looked at trends that were patterns that were emerging out of the data. So we were able to group the characteristics by the definitions and the instructive behaviors that the student presented to us into 9 categories of behaviors the students described as effective. And I got a question from Lynn. Go ahead, Lynn.
Actually, it's a question from Terry. It was based on some information on the last slide, and he typed it in the text box.
Okay, thanks, and I appreciate that. Yes, Terry, do you use any type of theoretical model to generate those 69 characteristics? No, actually, they just emerged out of what the students had written. In essence, it was a true grounded theory approach to it, and we wanted to take that approach simply because we wanted to get their opinion without any sort of I hate to say coercion, that's the wrong word, but with any type of response from us. While you're at it, did you have categories established before the data was started rolling in? No, we didn't. We simply established them as we read through the data, Jason. Yep, that was the approach. We kind of let students set that kind of approach for us, and I think it seemed to work out very, very, very well. Again, even when we had that debate about asking about instructor behaviors, we were really glad they did, because it was in the description of the instructor behaviors when the characteristics really started to come together. I think when you take a look at the results, you'll see why you'll see why that particular aspect of it was important. Anyways, here's how the 9 characteristics came out as we carried on with the study. For the on-campus students, the number one response was respectful. Then there was followed by knowledgeable, approachable, engaging, communicative, organized, responsive, professional, and humorous. Now, distance students, and this is really interesting, distance students came out with the same 9, except they put different emphasis on them. Respectful was still the first one, but responsive moved up to number two in the distance end of it, where you notice it was down to number 7 on campus approach, and we'll talk about that when we come to that a little further along as we take a closer look at the results. Then the distance students said it was knowledgeable, then it was approachable, communicative, organized, engaging, and professional and humorous were also there at the end. The students had some interesting concepts about how to bring humor in to a distance course, and it was and they saw it as a very important part of it. Anyway, so there's how the characteristics 9 characteristics landed out in terms of most often mentioned with regards to the on campus and the distance students. In the next part of it, since this group is focused generally on distance students, I just wanted to point out some of the key points there with the distance respondents. And overall, there's no question about this, with almost at every point in every characteristic they mentioned, students highlighted the idea of timely responses. There was a significant concern over timely communications from instructors. Organization was also extremely important to them. Students expected well-organized websites, course material, and evaluation guidelines. And of course, for distance respondents, their responses were framed in an online context, which makes perfect sense. All right, let's have a closer look then at some of the responses that the students did. The first one you mentioned, the first characteristics for on-campus and distance students was respectful. Now here's some of the adjectives the students used: caring, compassionate, concerned, consistent, diplomatic, empathetic, fair, flexible, helpful. So all those are the kinds of are the adjectives that they use to kind of break it down to this one area. We're talking about instructors being respectful to students. Two areas that they were concerned with. First off, there was the personal attributes, being courteous to students and patient with students' questions. They often talked about that. A lot of students talked about the idea that when students or when instructors were short with them or sharp with them, it felt them feel stupid. Really, was difficult for their self confidence, and a lot of them mentioned that. They also talked about pedagogical attitudes, things about testing what's covered in class and setting clear guidelines, being respectful enough to students to make sure that the students know what was exactly expected on them. Jason has asked me here on the text to, he says, could you clarify framed in an online context? Not sure I'm clear on what they mean. Jason, for sure. It's just that when the students described it, described the characteristic and described the instructor behaviors, they were very much focused on what goes on in an online setting. So often they would refer to how they were responded to in discussion forums, or how things were taken care of in email, or setting clear goals online about how something was supposed to be done. Does that kind of help? Okay, great. Okay, thanks. I appreciate it. Anyways, I'm just going to read you a few of what the things that the students had to say. At the university, this is a distance student. At the university level, most students will not be affected to the point to leaving school or failing without support or interest from profs. However, my experience has been that those who are interested in their students learning have a bigger impact on student learning, usually in a positive manner. So they certainly seem to be cognizant of that. Another student wrote, since distance students cannot take advantage of a classroom for opportunities to ask questions and gain understanding, the distance profs had to be prepared for more questions. Again, framing it in that distance context. Another student writes, taking a course online requires patience from the instructor in getting assignments in on time. Most people taking distance courses are doing so out of necessity and probably have a lot on their plates. Flexibility from instructor relieves stress associated with the isolated feeling of a distance course. So they really have the students were very. We're very descriptive, very honest, I think, in the perception that they had. One student particularly under kind, simply wrote in her reason why it was important. She just simply said, "I just want my instructors to be kind," and. Almost like a cry from the wilderness, you know. It was really an interesting perspective. So that was the first section, respectful. Under knowledgeable, this was for both on campus and distance, and this was quite interesting too. Here they talked about the adjectives they used were competent, credible, current, eclectic, flexible, practical, qualified, and reflective. And the two areas of instructor behaviors were highlighted. One was content knowledge, and certainly the university, the students both for on-campus and distance, we're concerned about that the instructor would have a have a clear and abundant knowledge of the subject that they were teaching, but students didn't separate it from the second aspect of it, which is pedagogical knowledge. When they talked about content knowledge, more often than not, they talked about the instructor's ability to teach and their knowledge of teaching methods. So that was certainly a concern. Tied into that for distance students, tied into that pedagogical knowledge as well, was a good understanding of technology. So they expected, they wanted their instructors to have a good understanding of the technology that we're using. I just got a couple of comments here that I could read from students. One student wrote, "Ability to convey the content of the material in a way that is easily understood by students. While this may seem a given, just because a professor has a PhD has done research does not qualify them to be a good teacher." It is extremely important, this is another student, the second comment here, is it extremely important for an instructor to be competent as an instructor. This includes both a knowledge of the subject matter as well as being able to be organized and prepared. This also includes being able to give feedback in a prompt manner. And that there again is that distance context that I mentioned. Students when they would make a comment like that, they would inevitably go back to the idea that this means getting feedback back to them quickly. So that was an interesting approach. Under the next one, which is approachable, students described that as flexible, friendly, happy, helpful, personal, and positive. Well, they had three main themes that kind of that appeared there. First off, they talked about a positive interaction between professors and students. That was both distance, that was both on campus and distance. They talked about a comfortable learning environment. That was different for on campus students than it was for students who were learning at a distance, simply because the facilities that they were using were different. And a sincere effort on the part of instructors to help students meet academic goals. That was fairly prevalent for both on campus and distance students. And again, I have some responses here for what distance students thought of in terms of approachable. One student writes, "Often students have questions or concerns that are not easily dealt with through written interaction. The prof has to be able to cope with such questions so the student will understand and be successful in the course." Another student writes, "This characteristic is important because it makes the students feel as though they are actually in a class, not just looking at or reading off a computer screen all the time." Again, equating there that connection that they feel in a face-to-face classroom and trying to get it in a distance students. And a final student writes, "Even online, having a friendly prof is nice." So those and one more for that group. This is another student. "Answer promptly. Don't make students wait too long. This means that we are important to you. Hard to smile over the computer, but keep notes to the point and share some information about yourself." So students have some pretty definite ideas about what they want to see from their instructors and the kind of approach that they appreciate when an instructor takes it. Alicia has a question there. "Did the study keep track of the proportion of responses from undergraduate and graduate or continuing education students?" We have that data. We have the capability to do that. We haven't done it yet. We did ask students where they were, what type of student if they were, undergraduate and or graduate. So we can go back to each of the characteristics and separate that out. And that's something we're going to do. We're also going to do that via gender. We want to see if male students responded differently than female students, or if they're the same. So those are things that we're going to look at, that we can look at. The data allows us to look at it, but we haven't done that yet. And from Bow Valley College, curious of all courses at your institution you're created by a curriculum team with people who have expertise in designing learning for distance education, or is there also a fair number of instructors who design their own online courses? Well, all the distance courses here at Memorial are put together. Let me rephrase that. The vast majority. We still have a couple that are instructor maintained. But of the 400 and some odd courses that we have available online, the vast majority of them have been developed by an instructional design team. So there would be a senior instructional designer, an assistant instructional designer, video producer, multimedia people, copyright people, a fairly extensive team actually that would be involved in the distance courses. Yeah. Okay. I hope that answers your question. Great. Thank you. Okay. So we've popped through approachable there. Take a look at the next one. Next one was engaging. And the students, again, on campus and distance. Adjectives here were assertive, challenging, charismatic, creative, energetic, enthusiastic, interactive, interesting, motivating, passionate, positive, stimulating. Again, you may see these adjectives occurring up. You see these adjectives cropping up in different places with different characteristics. So it was how they. Those students would use the same adjective. They would describe. They would use different adjectives. They would describe the same behavior. So you're going to see the same adjectives showing up in different places. Mark is asking. You mentioned instructional designers. That your institution is using e-learning authoring tools. Well, you'd have to define that. We're using a learning management system. However, the pages that we design for that and the work we do is usually done in HTML. Can you type in a few? Well, name a learning authoring, an e-learning authoring tool for me that you would consider an e-learning authoring tool. Mark, if you wouldn't mind. Or I'll pass over the microphone to you if you like. Articulate. We haven't used that one. We've been building them from scratch for quite a while now. Even before we had a learning management system, we've been using web pages and things like that. There's a number of tools that we do use. We use an awful lot of Flash. We use an awful lot of video. But no particular. The authoring tools. We build them pretty much from scratch, I would think. Maybe we can chat about that one a little bit later. Under the three main themes, we have passion and enthusiasm for the discipline of teaching, and they're quite clear about that. Very concerned about that. The ability to share their passion with students was also a concern, and the need for passion and enthusiasm to influence pedagogical choices. So they wanted the instructors to be so enthusiastic enough about their courses to make sure students got it, to make sure that they understand the material. I've got some student quotes here for you. The first student says, it's hard for an online instructor to demonstrate this, but it could be done by actively posting interesting information related to the course from the news, providing interesting facts pertaining to the material taught, and relating material to real life. So they did want faculty to make it authentic for them, to make the experience meaningful for them. Another student writes, being eager, using many different teaching and instruction methods, keep the class active, show passion and zeal for teaching subject matter. And another student says, students may lose interest in the content when working by computer. They may also be unable to stay on task and may fall behind in the course material. Instructors need to be able to come up with creative ways to keep students interested and on task so they can learn the content. So students have expectations about that, about being kept engaged, about the learning being meaningful. The next characteristic is communicative. And there were five main themes here. And they're talking to be about attentive, clear, and for our on-campus students that meant clear in their spoken language, constructive, thorough, understandable. And the five main themes were coherent use of a variety of organized teaching methods. They expected that. We had a clear and concise course outlines. That was very important to students. The on-campus students talked about a good command of the English language. The on-campus students also discussed acute listening skills. Both on-campus and distance students talked about clarity and expectations. And they also wanted prompt, high-quality feedback. And that came from both sets of them. Students, again, I have some student comments here for you. Because distance education relies so much on written content in the way of email, posting, and course manuals, being a good communicator is key. Being able to get points across and explain material to students is what this type of learning is all about. Another distance student says, doing distance students can bring up a lot of misunderstandings, and having an instructor who is easy to get a hold of makes a world of difference. Quick responses really aid the student when the question arises during a study period. And finally, receiving personal feedback from a professor, especially when there are so many others in the course, really makes the students feel good and helps the student feel more connected to the course and the professor. When a professor responds to some but not all, you kind of feel like you're being ignored. So they have some very interesting expectations there about responses and getting information back to them, getting prompt quality feedback back to them. The next characteristics we focus on is organized. From Bow Valley College, you've indicated that you're going to look at gender differences in the perception. Are you going to look at difference between age categories such as Generation X, Baby Boomers, Generation Y, etc.? We do have, as well, data on their ages, and that's certainly something that we're going to take a look at as well. And that's actually Jason's point is quite key there. That's exactly what we want to see. We want to see if the novice and experienced distance education students, more so we're wondering if a student who is experienced at university has a different set of expectations emotionally than students who are first starting out. So that's certainly the key. Being in a different place where they are, and that could be a difference for undergraduate and graduate students. Undergraduate students may be a little more emotionally dependent on the instructor in terms of creating that relationship. For graduate students who are out already working in the field, looking to increase their credentials or stay current with the literature, they have different. They have a different reason for being actively involved in their learning, and therefore may not have the same kind of emotional tie. I got to admit that's not bearing out. We're finding that graduate students really need to have that passionate, enthusiastic, and responsive instructor as well, and that's from our initial look at the data. But it's so I got a feeling that it's not. It may very well be different, but I think the differences are going to be subtle. But that's something we're going to have the need to take a look at. Under organized, the students mentioned efficient, focused, and prepared, as well as the word organized. The word organized appeared an awful lot. When students talked about this, they focused on pedagogical issues, and the on-campus students were certainly talking about being prepared for class. Question from Mount Royal University, did you look at cultural differences in students' expectations? No, we didn't. We didn't ask, and we don't have that potential in the data. The group here are fairly homogeneous group. We do have some international students. The cultural, we could have looked at it, but we didn't quite know how to approach that. So Susanna remarks here, graduate students, particularly older students, need more support than students that are coming right from undergraduate programs. That, in the case, sometimes can be true, depending on where they are, how much experience they have, for sure. Yeah, agreed. Clay says, sorry, okay, the date, yes. We collected this data during the winter semester of 2008. That's when that data was collected. And was there any difference between undergraduate students and older and younger students? We have to look at that. It's something that we can. It's in the data, and we have the ability to do that. But it's not something that we've done so far. And Clay asks, any advice for teaching Aboriginal students? We didn't. We do have some Aboriginal students here at Memorial. We didn't specifically target them or ask them if they were first First Nations students or not. So I really can't comment on that one. Anyways, let's go on to organize. Our prepared for class using technology property using technology appropriately was important. Offering coherent lectures, both points made by, and lectures is a Miss Homer there for the distance students. They used the phrase lectures when they were talking about distance, but they're talking about organized notes and websites, asking students for feedback on how the course is progressing. Those are the kinds of things that they liked. Okay. All right. Lynn says we're getting a little. Lynn's getting a little concerned about time. Perhaps we could hold questions remaining until the end. Okay, that's great. Thanks. Thanks, Lynn. Okay, we can. I can get behind that. Although I do kind of like the ebb and flow. But anyway, that's okay. Okay. Before I move on to organize, move on to the next one. Some of the responses the student had for organized. This characteristic is important because when doing distance courses, you not have the same advantage of doing the course in the classroom with the instructor. So the instructor needs to check their email a great deal so they can reply to students' questions, comments, or concern quickly and efficiently. Being quick with marks, as another student writes, being quick with marks and comments is important with online courses. Students want the feedback as they will not make the same mistakes again. In distance, students do not have the in-class instruction for papers or assignments as they rely on the feedback and comments. So again, students are very concerned about getting organized feedback. There are also a number of them talked about organized sites and organized materials. Oops, that one, there you go. This one, responsive, on campus and distance. So they talked about accommodating, available, efficient, helpful, and perceptive. Students focused on two attributes. First off, there's 3 points there, so that's never good. But but first off, I'd like to say, second most mentioned characteristic by distance students. Responsiveness was extremely important. They wanted timely and constructive feedback. And they also said the instructor's awareness of individual students by being attentive to signs that indicate the students are experiencing difficulty with the content. So they noted that. What the comments they had to make about responsive are, if you have to wait weeks to get a response from a professor, it can be highly frustrating. Also helps gain trust between the student and the instructor. After all, if I can never get a response, it leaves me with little faith that if I ever had a problem with something in the course, the professor would be of any use. Again, very much focused on that timely response. Another student writes, students are online at different times and are completing course materials at different rates. Receiving timely feedback on email requires that the professor be available more than an on-campus professor would be. And that's an interesting perception. They have expectations that the instructor, some of them have expectations that the instructor would be available. We have professional, that's the next one on the go, confident and dedicated, dependable, hygienic, that one came up from the on-campus students, functional, and trustworthy. Students focus on two aspects. The first one is the relationship with students, they talked about maintaining a present, measured presence, and both of them talked about on-campus students as well, talked about getting prompt responses back to electronic communications. Responsibilities to good teaching. They expected them to stay on track. The on-campus students expected the instructors to be punctual. Many of them mentioned that not showing up for a class was totally unacceptable. They weren't impressed with that at all. And they had wanted instructors to maintain high expectations. Under professionalism, students had the right. This characteristic is important because when students realize that the instructor is dedicated to teaching the subject, the student may become more interested in learning the subject. That's from a distant student. Another distant student writes, confidence in their technological ability and course topic is necessary to impart to students that you only have limited access to. All interactions must be quality interactions. So students were very much concerned about that. And the final characteristic is humorous. And it was really interesting, the number of students that mentioned this. Oddly enough, humorous was the second most mentioned characteristic in the K-12 study that Jerome completed in high school. But anyways, the students, they focused on a number of attributes. The possession of a positive outlook on teaching. They claimed they could tell when an instructor didn't want to be in the room. Being kind and approachable, creating relaxed, stress-free environment. They said it improved student-teacher rapport. And developed a more engaging pedagogical experience. Some of the comments the students had said lightens the mood and also offers personal connection, letting the students know that the instructor is not a computer. Another student writes, online courses make it much more difficult to demonstrate a sense of humor. However, with the right mixture of humor in notes, postings, etc., it can be achieved. And finally, another student writes, making light observations regarding the material and creating questions that not only cause us to think but also make us relax through laughter. They saw that as a positive approach. Well, that's the last of the characteristics. I'm just going to, before we get into the questions, we're going to just point you to the final slide there, and our final report. You're more than welcome to have access to a PDF of our final report, which is licensed under a Creative Commons copyright license, and you can find it at that URL. And you're more than welcome to share that with your colleagues and your students, And I guess I'll break now for questions. Lynn, I'm going to turn the microphone over to somebody else.
Well, Albert, let me use my moderator prerogative and jump right in with the question. Sorry if I'm monopolizing. I guess two things. The first, putting on my journal editor's hat on and seeing that this is an emergent theory, grounded theory kind of work, if it was going to be published, if I were to get this, and I find the results fascinating, very interesting, but what I would have to say is, what is the theoretical background, or where does it come from, or have you developed those characteristics into any kind of a model, have you built a new theory or an enhancement of one? And I guess because of my experience with the community of inquiry model, it kept flashing in my head as I was listening, the instances of especially teaching presence, of course, but also social presence and cognitive presence that could be mapped on there just to make it into a more theoretical piece that would have a greater chance of getting accepted at a journal like a Rodel. Now, that's just a little bit of a plug, and I'm not sure that you even have intentions to do that, but as much for other people listening as well. My second question is just, it seems like most of the things, they sounded familiar and kind of like common sense, and not that that discredits them, because I think that that kind of evidence is really useful. But I was wondering if there was anything that really surprised you or jumped out at you that you were not really expecting to see or anything like that.
Well, I think, yeah, Terry, thanks. I think that the biggest surprise we got is how transparent students viewed the technology, and how quickly. Well, let's put it this way: how quickly they got past the technology and into the human, very human characteristics of what they expected to see, and the kind of behaviors and attitudes that instructors were demonstrating through the distance technology. I found that really interesting. The on-campus students, not so much. They had expectations and were well practiced at determining whether or not those expectations are being met when we're actually in the presence of the person that we're having the relationship with. So when they talked about their expectations of an instructor in an on-campus course, they had all those forms of communication, the body language, the tone of voice, the approach that they took in class, the attitude with which they came to class, the things they talked about in class. It's really interesting to see how the expectation was that they would get that through the tone of email communications or video or things like that. So I was pleasantly surprised by that. Terry's mentioning there that I guess the students are becoming more technically competent, used to having effect responses even online. Agreed. I think that's the case. I think they're becoming, well, I'd like to qualify that and say I think they're becoming more effective in the use of the software and the applications that we expect them to learn how to use, that we expect them to use. I'm not a real, I don't buy into the generational research. I kind of like what the guys are doing out at the BC Institute of Technology, and Mark is looking at the generational research. So it's really it's really interesting, that aspect of it. Anyways, I think we're getting close to the time, and Lynn might want to have a closing comment.
Thanks, Albert. I see there's a few more questions and comments popping up in the text box there, so perhaps we'll take a moment after I'm done here to address those if you have time. And I would like to thank you so much, Albert, for taking the time to share your research with us here today. As you can tell from the questions and comments, there was a lot of interest in what this study had to show us and in your comments that came along with that today. So thank you so much. And I'm hoping that the participants who are here with us today can join us next month for our State of the Nation presentation from Michael Barber. He's done this for us in the past, and I'm curious, but it's been a couple of years, I believe. So I'm curious to see how Canada is keeping up. Michael is from Wayne State University, but I assure you he is very much Canadian, and he's been keeping track of what's going on in distance education here in Canada. So it should be a very interesting session, and hopefully you can join us for that. And as I've mentioned previously, the recording of this presentation and the PowerPoint slides will be available on the CIDR website if you're interested, and I'll put that link in the text box for you in a moment. So thank you everyone for joining us, and thank you Albert for your very interesting presentation. Take care.
Thanks, Lynn. It's been a real treat. And thank you all for coming along, and thank you very much for your questions. It's been a great discussion. Anyways.